Hello, this is Szafa Melomana, first Polish podcast about classical music. My name is Mateusz Ciupka, and this is 87th episode that I deliver to you in English because of my very honorable guest, Ermonela Jacho, one of the best sopranos in the world. The world of classical music is touched by multiple crises. We just came out of the coronavirus pandemic and the war has begun. The war that caused an international economic and social crisis. Every day we hear grim information about financial problems of cultural institutions. Another crisis that endangers opera is the rise of new technologies that seems to be a remedy for the financial problems of many institutions. Do audiences still need to experience difficult and bold emotions that fill many iconic opera roles? Why do we need the opera in such difficult and dark times? I asked Ermonela Jacho about it. Ermonela Jacho, born in Albania, first began to take singing lessons when she was just 6. Now she is particularly recognized for her portrayals of Violetta, Madama Butterfly, Suor Angelica, Adriana Lecouvreur, and a lot more, where she leaves her indelible mark on everything she sings. Standing ovations have followed her from London, Paris, New York, Munich, Berlin, Madrid, and everywhere else in between, with The Economist describing her as fiery angel, the world's most acclaimed soprano. As we read, she throws heart and soul into her singing. Don't even try to resist. While The Independent says that Jacho is the best Madama Butterfly London has seen in years, and Australia's Daily Telegraph names her an unstoppable phenomenon. We had our interview in Wrocław, where she came to receive the Artist of the Year 2022 title, granted by the International Classical Music Awards, and sing for the first time in Poland during the gala that took place last Friday in National Forum of Music. Hello, Ermonela. Thank you for finding the time.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be here in this beautiful country, really.
You came to Wrocław because of International Classical Music Award, Artist of the Year. We meet, I think, in difficult times when the world of classical music is touched by multiple crises. We just came out of the coronavirus pandemic. The war has begun. The war that caused an international economic and social crisis. Every day we hear grim information about financial problems of cultural institutions. For instance, severe cuts experienced by the English National Opera, French, American opera houses. Why do we need opera in such difficult and dark times?
I think it's very important because at the end, the humanity, we connect to each other through the music, through this kind of energy, through this kind of vibration that only the culture can do it. Why opera? Opera is the most completed, you know, art form because we have not only the music, we have the singing, we have the stage, we have the scenography, we have the ballet, we have the poesy, we have everything. And I think it's the most completed, you know, art form. And why we need it? We need that because we need to connect to each other. They are human feelings emphasized, human feelings universal, that it's only with that kind of vibration that the music can connect the human, the humanity. And, you know, even in this difficult time, I think the only thing that we can, the humanity can survive is the culture. It is difficult, I understand that, but if we take away the music, the art, the cultures, make the human beings softer, I would say as well. And if we can take away this culture, I think nothing it will survive with the humanity, because we don't need only, you know, the material things, okay, everything is happening now, but I think our souls, they need culture. It is difficult, absolutely difficult, but we have to fight for that. Even only two persons that we are here talking about music, talking about culture, I think still we have hope, and we live in this difficult time that we have to fight for that. It is hard, absolutely it's hard.
Surely the music connected us today and will connect you with the Polish audience in the Narodowe Forum Muzyki during the special gala on Friday. So basically what you're talking about here is the unifying power of culture. In the time of crisis, we have to stay together. And
correct.
The music helps us to do it.
And the music, I think, is the big lesson, because we cannot make music together if we don't respect each other, if we don't respect the work of each other, if we don't love each other. It's this harmony in our orchestra. We need to listen each other to have this beautiful harmony that composers, they wrote to connect, you know. And I think the music, the theater, it's a great lesson that we have to learn. And I think the music, which will reunite together, maybe still, you know, still there is hope that we can bring something positive in this, especially in this difficult time.
In your opinion, what is being sought by the people who listen to the opera these days? Do they still need to experience difficult and bold emotions watching you on stage and feeling all the pain and suffering that fill many of your roles? Basically, it's the pain and suffering that constitutes the Cecchino, Traviata. Or do they need something more heartwarming?
I think the opera, we never get tired, you know, of this kind of human feelings, you know, universal human feelings. Because, as you said that before, we are living in difficult moments and we are surrounded by people that are suffering. They are in pain. People that they want to be happy, or, you know, and you have that in the music. So never we can get tired of it, because the times are changed, but the human feelings are the same. So it doesn't matter if we are living, okay, in Butterfly or other operas, you know, in different times, you know, and sometimes could sound a little old, you know, to have this kind of opera still and going and watching and listening them. But it's not only about the opera, it's about the human feelings. And we are talking about Butterfly, this kind of sufferance, pain, joy, why not, death. But today we are talking about that in different times, about the war, about what happened with COVID, the loneliness, the pain, you know. They will live with the humanity. And maybe because I was so empathic, you know, when I was a child, because I think our countries, they suffered a lot. Your country suffered a lot. My country, in other way. And in somehow the human beings, we are observing all what we are living, you know. And maybe I had this kind of empathy, you know, to connect with these characters. And it became my strongest card, you know, because to be an artist, it's not only about to have a good technique, to sing well, to play well, which they, okay, of course, you learn that at the school, but to use this technique, let's say, you know, to express the freedom, to be free, to express the what you feel in, what you're feeling inside. And this was my strongest card, and I'm happy for that. You know, I know there are so a lot of suffering, you know, roles, but this is, it's part of humanity. So yeah, it became my strongest card, and still I will continue as much, as long as I will breathe and will be able to perform, to give my soul, you know, the colors of, or to give to my voice the colors of the souls that I'm singing.
Do you think these emotions that you can pass to the public are something that we absolutely need to achieve some kind of catharsis? You were speaking about this catharsis in connection with the Traviata, that you feel the catharsis on the stage when you sing it. Is it something that you, through this emotion, share with the audience, and this is the effect you want to achieve?
I think so. At least I try. I don't want to be presumptuous. I tried. Because if we go back in our history, you know, why, the reason why it was created, the theater in antique Greek, you know, to have this kind of catharsis between the artist and the public. And when I learned that in the school, I didn't understand very well. I thought, why? What's about catharsis? Why? How is possible to achieve that, you know? But maybe because I found a way how to channel my emotion in singing, like someone else in writing or in playing something, you know? And sometimes, to be honest with you, when I'm on stage, I go so inside into the character, and sometimes I forget. It's so hard for me to come out, because you go in another dimension. It's something magic. It doesn't happen always, but when it happens, it feels like, you know, you are completely detached from the ground. It's the sensation. It's fantastic. It's hard to come back. But, and in that moment, you forget about technique, about, you forget about things, you know, superficial things. And maybe it's the truth, but you have to be, exactly, to have that kind of catharsis effect, you have to be really honest, because your soul on stage is so naked and you have to let it go. And when you have the courage to let it go and it's true, absolutely we'll have that kind of catharsis. For me as an artist, and if I'm honest and truthful to myself, I think it will connect in the same way with the public. So I hope, for me it was a catharsis every time, and I hope for the public as well.
I saw that once when you sang Chocho-san, that after the final curtain, came out on stage without this traditional joy and smile and big bow, and you stayed like in the middle, constantly feeling this role. It was some time that you needed to go out of this role.
But because it's normal, if you believe in it, you know, if you're living, you are traveling, you know, that life journey of Chocho-san, you know, if you are really true what you're doing, it's impossible to come out immediately, because it feels like you're fake. You're faking, and it's like I don't know. It's something that you are lying to the public, you know, and the public needs still that kind of emotion until the end, because in a real life, okay, if we have a loss, or we have a really, really a deep, deep pain, or a big loss, we cannot come immediately, smiling after you cried in front of someone that you lost there, or something so painful, so dramatic, you know? And theater is the same. when really you believe in it. Maybe I sound so crazy, but I love it. Still, I love it. After 30 years, I want to feel that emotion. I want to feel like it's not tomorrow there anymore. So, yeah. And it takes time. Believe me, it takes time when you really believe it in that. It takes time to come out from the character. Otherwise, it feels like you're faking. You know, you're faking. The public will detect the fakeness. They need the truth. They need someone to cry there. They need, sometimes I call it, they need the blood on stage, you know.
But it's some kind of truth that public seeks and wants to see. Yeah, we were talking about the crises. Another crisis that endangers opera is the rise of new technologies. That seems to be remedy for the financial problems of many institutions. But on the other hand, it causes clearly visible risk for the traditional opera, understood as an art, and it does harm, in my opinion, the listeners too. Even if they're unconscious of this, they don't know yet that they soon might be watching not singers, but holograms, or partially hologramic performances. What is your opinion on such developments?
It's scary. It really is scary. But as an artist, I'm so traditional. And today, when I express that kind of concerns, as you said, that they are young stage directors. And they're telling me, but you are an old school. Don't think about that. You know, we have to make the opera modern. Absolutely. You have to bring the opera to the young generation today. But without forgetting the story, the history. Because never losing the traditional touch. Okay? Never, ever using the traditional touch. Because otherwise... Yeah, you're absolutely right. Even the singers, so they will be replaced, you know, for with the technology. But it's not going to be the same. And, you know, maybe still I believe in it. We have to fight for that. And especially with the COVID period, we tried and it was still human beings singing, you know, online. Okay, because we couldn't go to the theater. And but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same because we need this kind. You know, the universe exists because of the energy. We are part of the universe, and we connect to each other because we need this kind of a vibration. And yes, you have there are some modernity, okay, but without we have to be careful not to lose the touch of humanity, because. I'm scared, to be honest. I if something is going to happen, I want to be dead already, you know, because I like it. I like to hug each other, to talk to each other, you know, otherwise it feels like the humanity doesn't exist, just one person. That's why in the Bible we had Adam and Eva. We need each other, maybe because I believe in it and I don't want to believe... I hope I'm going to be dead if we'll be replaced with the technology. We need the technology, but we need to use that, you know, in a smart way without losing the human touch, which it comes from traditional productions. And I give you an example. You know, still now, in this period, it was so difficult to have the opera houses full of public, okay? But I had this experience that I was really happy, but to see the difference at the Metropolitan, I was singing last year Liu in Turandot, Zeffirelli's production. Of course, Franco Zeffirelli.
Very classic. Traditional.
Classic for excellence. It was maybe too classic, yeah. But it was a dream. I swear it was a dream. Once you are on stage, unbelievable. And... every show, it was sold out. Afterwards, they put it, you know, other productions. They couldn't sell even the half of the tickets, okay? The same now. I was a week ago 10 days ago in London, Royal Opera House, singing Turandot Liu, because I recorded this CD with Maestro Paparo as Liu, and I continued, you know, I had the pleasure to continue to sing Liu the whole year. The same, the very same. It was a production, traditional production, old, around 40 years, sold out. And the next day, there were, I don't know, there was something, another production, modern one, with all the whole respect, but couldn't sell. You know, at the end, still because the public, not because they want to see beautiful scenes, but something, you know, historical. That's why the humanity, we are suffering today, because we forget the history, what happened in the past. Even with the, maybe it's not in the culture is the same for with the opera. Yes, we need something modern, just, you know, to be part of this reality, because we live this modern, in this modern world, but without forgetting what it was, you know, in the past, how was the past, or even in the Mozart's period or Verdi's period, Puccini's period, you know, because it we arrived today because we had this kind of journey history, you know. And yeah, I'm so traditional. I would love to sing the whole my life, you know, until I can deliver, of course, in a traditional, you know, production, which now is becoming a little difficult. I suffer a little bit.
I'm a little bit happy here that you confirmed my strong belief that this opinion of these young directors who think that opera must be brought to the young people through the reality of young people. Maybe young people also look for something alternative to the world that is around.
Exactly. I agree with you. Okay, because if we are living every day something, you know, okay, you go outside, you see what is happening outside, and you're bringing the same on stage. No, because the human being, we don't like perfection. We don't like to see the same thing over and over. We need something alternative. You're absolutely right. And the public at Royal Opera House, the majority were young people. Because exactly, we need history. Even the young people, why we have to think the opera is old? And I don't want to mention no one now, but I had an experience in Paris, a beautiful opera, classic, Faust, and I was Marguerite. And with the whole respect, but the stage director told me he wanted that, you know, he wanted me to be dressed like Ariana Grande or something. I understand that. But it's Goethe, it's the literature, you know, and Marguerite Chastepur is written. You know, we have to be to respect all the text, because in that way we can transmit the value of certain of the value of life, the young generation. That's why the young generation, they are completely lost today. I'm not saying that the only way to be safe today is opera, but opera is one aspect, okay? But they need, you know, they need that kind of value through the literature, through the music, because today is becoming something, you know, empty. That's why they are in crisis. So they feel like, you know, We need the scandal. We need something really to have the tragedy, to do something really crazy, to make them feel important. Which, you know, to feel important is to have this kind of value, you know, to have the integrity, you know. And I think the one of the keys always is culture. We are going back there, always talking about that.
I want to ask you also, what does it mean to you to be a singer after 30 years, as you told? Is it just a job, or still, after all these years, you consider this journey of yours as a journey to some destiny? Do you have any regrets, maybe any dreams?
Beautiful question. My dream started when I was 14 years old, professionally when I decided to become an opera singer in Albania.
Tirana, Traviata.
Correct. Yeah. And it started as a game, because at that age, you want to be famous. You know, it's normal. You know, they are the first things that... But when I saw the first time Traviata, it was my first opera, I decided to become an opera singer, because maybe when I've heard for the first time Traviata, I fall in love with the first sight. And in somehow, maybe unconsciously, I didn't understand exactly, but it was something that, I'm not saying disturbed me, but it moved something into my heart, into my soul. And now, after 30 years, I love it more. And I don't have dreams anymore, because what I dreamt, you know, to become an opera singer, to sing certain repertoire in all the opera houses, that I've done that already. And now it's not anymore, you know, as a profession, a job. But now every time I'm on stage, for me, I want to experience that spiritual journey. It's not anymore a job. It was a job, okay, before. Now I want to experience a spiritual journey. And every time I go on stage, for me, it's like my first and last time in my life. And I always kiss the stage, because I'm telling, maybe tomorrow I'm not coming back. And I want to live that in full. What
you
it
love
changed?
The stage. You love the stage.
I love the stage because it's my dimension. Maybe because I was really a shy child. And when I felt home with my ups and downs, my imperfections, it was the stage. It was the real myself. It was the stage. Or maybe I found my dimension there. I don't know. It was something so... Really, I love the stage. And after such a long time, what I regret... It's a contrasense, maybe, because what I regret is that I didn't have... I didn't live as like every other teenager. You know, I fought so much. I suffered so much. I had to fight a lot, you know, to reach, to touch my dream, to live my dream. And I was so harsh on myself, really. I couldn't live a moment like my generation, like my age at that time, you know. Maybe to have friends, to go outside, to have a social life, you know, like everyone. For me, it was like, you know, I needed to fight harder than the other people, because I needed to make place in the world, to myself, because I left Albania in 93. And Albania in 93, if you know, you know, you saw the all of those big, you know, ships coming from Albania, the changing of the you know, the everything changed, the politic and everything changing in Albania. And to make place to myself, I had to fight 10 times more than the other people. And I didn't forgive myself, you know. I wanted to do to make it happen, and somehow I missed, you know. I didn't give the chance to the younger Monella to live her life, and that's why what I regret. But at the other point, I don't know what do you think, but on the other hand, if I couldn't do that, what I've done, you know, maybe I couldn't become what I became. So maybe, yeah, I had to go through that difficult journey to reach my dream, I think. Yeah, that one I regret. And what I regret, the other thing, to be honest with you, that I didn't have the opportunity, because always I did choose to study, and I didn't have the opportunity to be closer to my family. And I lost my parents. Meanwhile, I was singing on stage. And even my mom, even my father, in their last days, that I didn't know, unfortunately, they told me, when you are coming, just to hug you, or to spend some time together. And now when I remember, I feel guilty. But that's what I regret, because I was away from my family, and maybe everything has a price. You know, we cannot have everything in life, and maybe that suffering is so, it's so raw, it's so true. That's why maybe it's so true what I'm singing on stage. My pain is real on stage because of what I've been through. So, yes.
Because of what you've experienced.
Exactly. I think that, yeah, we had to go through that.
We're all, I think, very busy these days. And it seems that the world becomes more and more demanding. How do you deal with the overcoming things such as physical overload, tiredness, exhaustion?
Oh, it's hard every day, because it feels like, okay, after such a long time, 30 years in this career, you can take it easy, you know, because you made your name, you make the... No. It became harder, because everything goes so fast. And to be... I don't like the word business, but it is business at the end. To be everywhere, because today you are here, tomorrow there. It's exhausted. Sometimes I think I need to quit. Let's stop here. And I have moments that I cry like a little girl, you know, when I'm by myself. And every day, to be honest with you, as much as I love it, I have the temptation to stop, because it becomes too much. It becomes too much. And I feel like I cannot take track, you know, because...
Because you never stopped through these 30 years.
No, I never stopped. And the only moment that I stopped with the COVID, because of the COVID. And to be honest with you, first month, it was a little shock for me, like for everyone, because I was working and traveling. And it felt a little bit, you know, oh my God.
Where it suddenly stopped?
It stopped suddenly. It stopped when it was in March 2020. And I was in France. And suddenly when it stopped, I was shocked a little bit. But after 1 month, 2 months that I was spending more time with my family, which I missed so much, I started liked it. And after 7 months, of course, meanwhile, you know, in those months, I spent time with my family, but still I started, because I thought, yes, because traveling, maybe I have to improve the technique. Let's go a little bit to make yourself better. Always there. And when I started, I didn't want to leave home. I thought, because I liked it, to be honest with you. And when once I started, it was September 2020. I didn't stop anymore. But it became, I don't know, harder. And now I have moments that I want to stop, to be honest with you, because it feels too much. It feels too much. And you don't have time. You don't have enough time. And the way the technology, which is good, it became faster, everything. But certain things, they need a little calm. But we are part of this reality. Let's see how long I'm going to survive to this rhythm.
I think that Teresa Żelizgara, a famous Polish singer that once was a queen of Metropolitan Opera, I think for the 16 seasons or something like that, said that one of the most difficult experiences for her as a singer was to deal with the loneliness on stage. It might seem to be a paradox, because opera basically is a teamwork, and more than, let's say, a solo instrumental performance, the recital of the pianist or violinist. Do you agree with this opinion? Have you ever experienced such a loneliness on stage?
She was right. I agree with her. Because not every time, you know, you have, of course, opera is a teamwork. We agree about that. But sometimes, not everyone has the same, you know, the same perception, or they go in the same direction. If it's a catharsis for you, if it's something that, if it's a therapy for you, doesn't mean it has to be for everyone. And sometimes it happened to me as well. When you're singing something really meaningful, thoughtful, so with a lot of emotion, and you see the conductor wants just, you know, to finish the opera because he needs to keep the orchestra together, or the stage directors or the regisseurs, they have exactly the perception of, I don't know, which doesn't go together with the trauma, with the plot. You have colleagues, with all respect, they are worried about, I have to be ready to do the high note, and they are so worried about that. And at the end, it's not a journey going together, you know? And you feel alone there, and you think, okay, let's go with my guts. So I'm in your mind, it's like, okay, you are doing this role, and you feel alone because, or sometimes you have love duets, or and the stage director puts, you know, one person here, the other person on the other, you know, on the other side, you know. Sometimes it feels if she meant in that way. Sometimes you feel like that. Not always, of course, not always. I've been lucky to have, you know, colleagues that really, you know, we had great time. And for example, I can give the example with a tenor, Charles Castronovo. He sings often here, and he's that kind of colleague artist. He puts himself, you know, and to make that believable is something extraordinary. And I remember we've sang together in London, Bohème, not only Bohème, and there were a lot of kids, you know, because it's a dress rehearsal. And at the end of the first act, it's a kiss between Rodolfo and Mimi. And we kissed each other, you know, because we believed in that. And you see the kids, yuck, because they're the kids. But it was beautiful because they believe
something true.
Exactly. But it doesn't happen so often, you know. And but, you know, everyone has their own way how to manage the stage. It's not easy.
And last question. You prefer, that's clear, to be on stage than to record in the studio. Don't you feel that the records, in fact, make your legacy? Can recording be considered as a piece of an art? As Glenn Gould said, there's something different than the recorded performance on stage. This is something maybe artificial, but it's a form of an art.
Absolutely. You know, I record it. I prefer the stage, of course, and some DVDs, they are live, you know, performances. I recorded 3 CDs, and I have the projects, you know, so because it looks, you know, we had success. It is different, absolutely, but it's more challenging, you know. That's why always, every time I recorded, the last recording, it was Turandot, Liu,
Sandra Radvanovsky,
Jonas mm-hmm. Kaufmann, Maestro Papano. And yeah, I remember, for me, I try, you know, not to change that. And I remember, not only for the Turandot, but for the other CDs, the technician, you know, the voice, you know, the engineer, you know, of the recordings, because you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. They're telling me, Ermonella, don't give so much because we can, you know, adjust that, you know, the sound. And I was telling them, I can't, because you have to give, it's more difficult, more challenging. But at the end, you have to give that kind of drama, that kind of that kind of story, that you can do that on stage. Actually, you have to do, I believe in it, you have to do more. But depends, you know, the philosophy of each artist. There are artists, they want to be perfect with that sound in the instrument, on the voice, you know. But for me, the imperfection makes that, you know, more natural, less artificial, you know. And personally, I tried you know, when I record it, to do that. And yes, could sound a little artificial, but every time I recorded I recorded, I got so exhausted, because even if I had to repeat, I have to repeat 10 times, 20 times, I had to go there, you know, to make it more believable. And of course, the stage helps, because you have the costume, you know, the eye, you know, needs the eyes, they need, you know, to see, you know, the personage, you know, the stage, the costume, and the mise en scène, and you have the imagine. But the recording, if it's done with that kind of philosophy, that okay, to say the story, it's beautiful, because you put the people, the public who's going to listen the CD, to imagine that. And the imagination goes behind of what the artists, the singers, they have to say. So it's harder, not impossible, because you need more time there. But I believe that even in the recording, you can do something believable. So a little artificial, but not completely. I believe that in the recording, you can have the theater in your voice, in what you're doing. Yes, what you're recording.
Yeah. And then the theater in the imagination of a listener.
And it's beautiful as well. When we listen the radio in Albania, we didn't have the TV. When I was a child, I didn't have a TV. And we had the radio. And when you listen, someone is telling the story, and you couldn't see that, but you can imagine it. But it was telling so beautifully with all the sfumatura, the intonation of the voice, you know, explaining the drama or the tragedy and the joy, and you go to imagine it, and it's beautiful, you know. And the recording is the same. So, but we have to leave apart a little bit the ego, that never we are going to be perfect, and just, you know, to go, if you have to scream, scream, even if it's a recording, cry if it's a recording, because in that way you put the people that is going to listen that, you know, to imagine that. See, I like it very much. As you see me, I cannot stop, you know, talking about that. Still, I love it.
Ermonela, thank you very much. That was a wonderful conversation. It was wonderful to meet you. I'm very grateful for the time that I could spend with you, and I'm waiting for your performance during the gala in the Narodowe Forum Muzyki, and for the other performances on the stage, on your favorite roles that you will sing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And it was beautiful to talk together, because it wasn't an interview. It was a conversation. And thank you, because that's why always I said that I love your country. My friends, you know, artists, they have a special sensitivity. And now I understand why it's this place here, I think. Your country is amazing. So much culture, history. And I feel that vibration. And thank you for having me. I'm really privileged to be here, because it's my first time. And hopefully I'll be back to sing something on stage, you know.
It's my hope too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.